Amen. Thank you, Father, that we have internet. Praise you, Lord, that we do have internet. Father God, I just thank you that tonight there's not going to be anybody that has any problems with their internet. Everybody's going to be solid in their communication. And we praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead us tonight. Guide us into the things that you'd have us to talk about, pray about, and all the things that you're going to give us the words to say. Give us the wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and anything that you want us to talk about. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for blessing Pat for the wonderful job he did Tuesday night. And I thank you, Father, that he is a future man for Zoom, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yeah, you did good. Did real good. I listened to it. I went back and listened, said I was making notes, you know. No, I just wanted to make sure everybody was on there and had a good time. It sounded like y'all did good. Had a great time. That's awesome. And I listened to George. I didn't get the country where he was talking about. Pat, do you remember what country he was talking about? That they were, he's got that missionary. He told me once before, but I forgot.
Haiti.
Was it North?
Haiti?
Haiti.
Okay. All right. That's a corrupt country. And it has been for years. I know. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Patrick, I truly appreciate you taking over, because that was a last minute thing. They had to, they kept telling me it's going to be 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. It's going to be on at 9 o'clock. It's going to be on at 9 o'clock. Well, it wasn't on at 9 o'clock. It wasn't on at 10 o'clock. It wasn't on at 11 o'clock. It wasn't on at 12 o'clock. And then the next day, they did the same thing. But anyway, I hope they got it fixed and what it was. So we're here. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have a good time tonight. Amen. But I truly do appreciate it, Pat. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Nick.
We're going over to Iceland this month.
Oh, man, you need some deep prayer. For how many days?
7.
You taking your parka and your snow boots and all of that stuff?
No.
Anybody go to Iceland? Sound like to me you need some clothes.
No.
If I'm not mistaken, and I'm not, actually, Iceland is warmer than Greenland.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just sounds cold to me.
Yeah, because of the ice.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, y'all have a good time. When are you leaving?
We're leaving August 21st.
Okay. Is your mama gone and your dad gone?
My mom and my sister and me and my grandparents.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, okay. You going to take your snowmobile?
No.
No? Okay.
All right. We're going to do some whale watching, too, over there.
Some what?
Whale watching.
Okay. What is that?
There's, like, whales in the water, so you can take a tour.
Oh, whale watching. Okay. Whale watching. I thought you were saying whale. I said, well, why would you want to look in some ice? Because that's all, I ain't got no whales out there. It's all ice.
But yeah.
But whale. Okay. Yeah, that's great. What kind of whales do they have up there? Frozen?
I don't know. I don't know. This is my first time going out there, so.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, you should maybe try to read some of the signs when you get up there, some of the city names. Really cool names. You know how to read very well if you can read those.
Yeah. Are they in some kind of different language?
Some sort of, I don't know what language they speak there, but I just remember really difficult pronunciation for some of these places.
That's a Nordic town or Nordic kind of a place, isn't it? Yeah. All right, go ahead, Lana.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to share a quick testimony here. So we took a very last minute family vacation with our friends here earlier this week. And so yesterday, I'm usually very cautious in the sun because I tend to burn so quickly. I do not normally look this bright red or even tan looking. But anyways, it didn't take long. I mean, I was baconized within minutes. And so last evening, it just hurt. It plain old hurt. You don't want to be touched. Not your nerves, not your emotions, not your skin. But Theo laid hands on me and rebuked this sunburn and this pain, and the boys agreed with him, and I agreed with them. And there was no way for me to go out and get any creams for relief or anything like that. And I didn't want to. So I just put on a little bit of lotion that I had to just help my skin soften up a bit, because it felt as tight as a snare drum. And I said, Lord, thank you. I'm going to get a good night's rest. And I did. I slept the whole night. And this morning it was still a little bit sensitive, but usually this stuff takes about 2 days to really, really die down. And I've been able to go about normal. I have no pain right now. Praise hardly God. Any sensitivity. The Lord's been really good, because this tends to happen a lot whenever I get into strong sunlight like this in the South. And it's not fun at all, and I don't do it on purpose, but the Lord's been really good. We've been able to spend time on the beach with the boys. They've really been having a lot of fun, and it's been really nice to spend time just with the boys alone. Theo's been working every day, but regardless, we've been really blessed, and the Lord's been really merciful to us, so all glory to him.
Praise God. That sounds awesome. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of that sunburn. It ain't a sunburn anymore. Thank you, Lord. Who is that group there in that bus? What are y'all doing in a bus?
Feels like a good day.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for protecting them all the way home. Get them home quick, easy, and tireless. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. That means that you're going to be home around 12 or 1 o'clock, huh?
It's predicting 1:30 right now.
Okay. All right. Praise God. You're going to take 40 all the way?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. You'll be hitting Nashville here a couple hours.
Well, just think, we started out our journey today in Texas, so it's not bad.
Oh, my. Well, you went within 7 miles of my house when you went through Lone Oak.
Let me tell you, I have never suffered so much in my life when I got to a gas station in Arkansas. It was 102 with a high humidity.
Well, that's almost hot. Yeah, I know. I've been getting some reports of the heat index being up around 115, 120 degrees. Yeah, that can be a little bit miserable.
A little bit.
Hannah, did you get out of the car any time during this trip?
I almost made a video to send to you, Michael, and say, we survived. It was worse than Texas, worse than Missouri. Worse than Oklahoma. It was the worst we saw. Worse than Arizona.
Yep.
It was almost uninhabitable.
Well, you can understand then how I can stand the heat then, can't you?
Yes.
Well, that was brought up in it. Praise God. Well, y'all made it through Arkansas. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Andrew, did you have your hand up?
So I was just going to ask if the grass down there is yellow or if it's still green. because we don't have any yellow grass this year. Didn't get any hot. We had so much rain, it's like springtime out there.
All green. Oh, really?
Yeah. This is the first year I've ever seen it in a long time. But green and lush vegetation everywhere. So much. I think it was because of the fires and stuff, because they're still going on.
There's still no got fires going on?
Yeah. Yeah, there's still some somewhere. But, like, there's no yellow grass.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
The fires in Saskatchewan right now. Yeah.
But you're getting rain all the time, aren't you?
Yeah. We just had a huge downpour not too long ago. Yeah.
So how are the fires going if you're getting rain?
I guess it comes from the smoke.
I don't know what my dad's thinking.
I think, you know, there's smoke in the air and the fire comes. The stuff goes up in the air and makes condenses with the water particles and makes rain. I don't know. Like, he cut it just yesterday, and you know, it's like usually in the end of July, all the grass is yellow, but there's none of that this year. So there's something weird.
Amen. We've had good rain here in Tennessee, and they've had good rain in Arkansas, just been hot. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for getting everybody home safe and getting Nick to Iceland and back safe. Lord, without having to thaw him out before he gets here. Amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Y'all mind if I pray? I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for getting Matt and Anna home safely, Theo and Lana and the boys home safely, and everybody that's on the road, getting them home safely, and Shoshana too. There she is. Pretty little dress. No, that ain't a dress. That's a shirt. I can't tell. But Lord, we thank you for getting them home safe in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that people that are going out will come back safe and sound. They won't have any problems whatsoever in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just cast down these spirits of faction coming against this fellowship. I cast them down. I command you by the power and authority that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us in Luke chapter 10. To cease your activity upon this fellowship and the fellowship local in Jesus' name. Now you quit, leave this fellowship and go in the name of Jesus and never show your ugly head again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It is done. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Hey, Josie. All right. Yeah, Geneva, go ahead.
I just like to have prayer real quick for Morgan. He's been just having a difficult time at work and been making it kind of stressful for him. I just want to pray. If Michael, if you don't mind, say a prayer for him. Lord, just be with him.
Yep, I will. Father, we lift up Morgan to you. And Lord, we thank you for putting rest in his heart, that these trials that are coming upon him are for one thing, that's to get rid of the flesh. And Father, we thank you for that. But Lord, we thank you for giving him the strength, perseverance to go through this trial. And we praise you, Father, that on the other side, he's going to be a better Christian because of it. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, that flesh is dropping off of him. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Now we command these spirits coming against him that's not supposed to be coming against him to cease right now in Jesus' name. And don't you never show yourself back up again in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that Morgan understands that he is being tried, but he's the winner. He's an overcomer, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. You believe that, Geneva?
Oh, I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Okay. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Can I tack on just a little bit there?
Yes, ma'am. You certainly may.
I just thank you so much, Father. We just thank you so much that, wow, Father, we can just bring our burdens to you, and you sustain us, and you will not suffer the righteous to be moved, and that we have an open heaven, and we just come to the throne of grace at any time. Father, I pray I agree with everything that's been prayed here, but I pray also, Father, for the gift of wisdom from Morgan. Lord, that you just give him supernatural wisdom about how to do his job, and also how to respond and how not to respond to those in the workplace. Lord, I just pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and your spirit of grace to be upon him, and that you're showing him real favor there. I pray, Lord, also that you pour out just a spirit of thanksgiving and praise on him, and especially the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We cast all that heaviness and weariness off in Jesus' name, and that he is just filled with joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for all of us here. We want that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to, Father, just put that profound, that yearning for that profound love of Christ in our heart, that Father, your word says that we are joined with Christ Jesus, and we are one spirit, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that you're just doing a great, great work in everybody, even tonight. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty. I believe everything she prayed is coming to pass right now. In Jesus' name, in Morgan's life. And we praise you, Father, for this mighty deed that's being done right now. Thank you, Lord. Yep, it's done. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? How many of you want the Holy Spirit to feel you so much so that it feels like electricity is going through you, every cell of your body? Glory to God. Ooh, my. Well, let's ask him for it. Father, I just thank you for filling us all up with your spirit so much so, Lord, that we can look at one another and see the power of God coming out. The love of God coming out. Lord, I ask and I pray right now that you replace our hearts with Jesus's heart, the heart of love that gives us compassion even at our worst enemy. And I praise you, Father, right now that you have imparted your spirit to all who wants to receive it, and receive it in measures that would just astound us. And I thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We all receive everything that you've given us in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. My. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Lord of God, I feel like I could just jump up and be over where Pat is right now. Yeah. Be right there beside him. Glory to God. Go ahead, Benita.
Hi, everyone. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, I went for a walk today with some ladies, and I met a lady named Angie today, and I wanted to pray for her. She grew up kind of in the Baptist church, and she in 2020 says she was telling me that she was led to come out of that. She felt like the Lord was telling her to come out of that. And so I was like all excited, like, oh, that's great. So then she said they fellowshipped at home for a little while and they were searching for a church, and then they found a church just right here in our town in Goodrich. She found it's a spirit-filled church. I didn't even know that they were spirit-filled here, but it is a spirit-filled church. And so she was talking a little bit about it, and I kind of shared my testimony on how I received the Holy Spirit and tongues and all of that. And so she's come out a little bit, but from what she's talked about and what they believe at that church, she needs to come out some more. So I just, I was like, okay, I kept telling her, oh, there's this great teaching you should listen to from David's site. Oh, maybe I'll send you this teaching. I don't want to teach her anything, of course. And even if I wanted to, there's just too much to teach in a 15-minute walk. You're with somebody. So you can't do it anyway. So I just, I'll just pray for it if you can believe with me. Lord, mm-hmm. Just thank you for putting Angie in my path today, Lord. And what a blessing it was to be able to share my testimony and to listen to her testimony and see that she is spirit filled. And Lord, that you would just guide her and open her eyes to even more truth, Lord, and bring her out and just give me an opportunity to share, hidden manna or sovereign God with her, Lord, and that she would receive it and at least give it a chance. And, you know, she's admitted herself. She's been coming out of things and learning new things. And so she's got a mind to be open-minded about things. And boy, once you hear the truth, you know, it's the truth. We all know that. So Lord, just guide her and just praise you and thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it, Lord. Lord, I thank you that Vanita's going to be able to relate some things to her, that there's going to be more meetings. And I thank you, Father, that she's not only going to come into the truth, she's going to be happy to be into the truth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. 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 Ooh, my. Thank you, Father. Is anybody fired up over Jesus? Lord of God, yeah, me too. I am fired up over Jesus. Jesus is my best friend. Absolutely. Glory be to God. How many of you know Manchild's on the way? He's on the way. If you don't believe me, ask Missy. No, don't do it. No. Praise God. He is. Regardless of what Missy's got. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to give a testimony about? Yes. Amen. All right. I was answering a text that I got, wherever that text thing is. All right. Come on now. Has anybody got a testimony? How many of you know that Jesus is still on the throne? And if Jesus is still on the throne, we ain't got nothing to worry about, do we? We ain't got nothing to worry about. Glory to God. All right, Lana. Go ahead.
Hey, I have a couple testimonies. So being that we're at the ocean, my boys, as any little kids, love the water. And there's a lot of shallow water here, especially when it's low tide, and they like to go far to get to the waves. And I kept telling them to stay near. And I told them that if a wave sweeps them away, mama can't save them, only God. And they have that down. Every time I go out there to get them, I say, you need to stay near mama, because if something happens, I might not be able to get to you in time. And they always say, except God. Very sweet. That they know and they believe it, right?
Praise God, yeah.
And yesterday, I was at the pool with the kiddos, and Gabe was playing beside me on the stairs. And I thought, oh, I'm going to turn around for just a second and grab my phone. It's like I knew it was going to happen. I bet you it was just the Holy Spirit on me. And as soon as I get up and turn around to grab my phone, it just struck me that everything was silent. And I turn around and Gabe is gone. And I instantly knew that he had fallen into the water. And of course, it's just two steps away. I jump back into the pool and he is, he's underwater kicking, and I get him up and he recovers pretty quickly. He didn't swallow any water. Praise the Lord. He created these babies to be so resilient. And within a short time, I had him back in the water so that he wouldn't have a chance to be scared of it or anything. But I'm just absolutely amazed because this is the second time I've seen this happen with babies. When they fall into water, specifically in both cases, it was the pool. It's absolutely silent. They do not thrash around. They do not give any warning that they are falling. They're just gone. This happened with Leo's Matthew back in Sedalia last year. And it can be absolutely scary, but yet I had such peace. I just turned around and I knew my child was gone and he was in the water, and I just stepped down the stairs and picked him up and shook him off, and we went swimming again. And I was just so grateful because the Holy Spirit was on me the entire time. I knew what was happening and I knew my child would be okay, but I had to go get him. Yeah. So all praise and glory to God. The boys have been safe and sound.
Yeah,
they've been playing out there in the waves. I've been praying against sunburns, and the Lord has protected them. He gave me my trial, but the boys have been great. He's been protecting them, and just keeping them safe from all kinds of even weird stuff. I asked a man and his wife to watch the kiddos while I took one of the kids to the bathroom. And he was so diligent. He came back. When I came back, he told me that the kids had gone to join our friends who had appeared while I was gone. And unfortunately, later on, they told my husband that I had left the kids with some homosexual man. And I thought it was odd that they wouldn't come to me. But I thought, here's a way to think about it. Like, I'm not offended at all, because the Lord can use even a homosexual guy to watch out for my kids and return him to me safely. And I believe they were mistaken. I truly do, because I, you know, it was a man and his wife. But regardless, I was like, Lord, let the flesh burn. The kids are safe and sound. I wasn't gone very long, and you can use anyone. So all glory to God. He's been so good.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yep, he can. Thank you, Lord. It don't make any difference what they are. When we as a Christian can believe that they're going to take care of them, guess what's going to happen? They're going to take care of them. Them angels going to make sure of it. Thank you, Lord. That's a good story. Thank you, Lana. All right. Anybody else? Y'all want to hear? Go ahead, Anita.
It's just a quick one. I had a little trial today. I needed my weed whacker, and I looked all over for it. I went to the garage. I looked all around. I was like playing I Spy. I'm like, where could it be? It's hidden here somewhere. I went back to the barn. I looked all around. I went in every car. I looked and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, Frank, somebody came by and took it. I'm sure of it, because it's not anywhere around here. And I can't find my chainsaw either. I don't know where that is. It just disappeared. So I'm like, and nobody touches anything out here. It just doesn't happen. I said, but somebody took it. It's just not anywhere here. And I went back and forth to the barn and again, three times. I just couldn't find it. So I just said, okay, Lord, if somebody took it, I just bless them. I just bless them, because this is just a trial. And I just want to bless whoever took it. They needed it. That's all right. And, you know, you'll give me a new one, or it'll just all show up, or whatever it is. So I came in the house and I was telling Frank, I said, it's stolen. I'm sure of it. And I told him, I said, but I blessed him, because, you know, I blessed the people that stole it. And he's like, why would you bless them if they stole it? I said, well, it says bless and curse not, you know, don't you remember that verse? So I've been talking to just kind of reminding him not to return evil for evil and those kind of things, dropping little verses here and there. So this was another opportunity. I'm like, bless and curse not, Frank. So then I went back out to the barn one more time, and at the very end of the barn, just leaning up against the edge, was my weed whacker. So just needed to bless whoever. Oh, amen.
Praise God. God returned it, didn't he? I wish you would get mine and keep it. I'm glad you use it again. Praise the Lord. All right. That's a good story. Thank you, Benita. Anybody else? Good testimony. Anybody else got a good testimony? I'd like to recite something if I might. You've probably heard it before, but I think it's worth repeating. Y'all mind if I read this thing about the science of divine healing by Lake? He said, having formal acknowledgement as a student of science, it's my privilege to attend clinics, which I frequently do. I submitted myself at one time to a series of experiments. It was not sufficient to know that God healed. I had to know how God healed. I visited one of the great experimental institutions and submitted myself for a series of experiments. First, they attached to my head an instrument to record the vibrations of the brain. Some people that works on, some it don't. Anyway, this instrument had an indicator. You'll get it in a minute. Had an indicator that would register the vibrations of the mind. So I began by repeating soothing things like the 23rd Psalm, calculated to soothe the mind and reduce its vibrations to the lowest point. Then I repeated the 37th Psalm, then the 35th chapter of Isaiah, then the 91st Psalm, then Paul's address before Agrippa. After this, I went into secular literature and recited Tennyson's Charge of the Light Brigade. And last, Poe's The Raven. How many of you read those in high school? I did. I had to. That's one of those requirements. Okay, with a prayer in my heart that at the psychological moment, God would anoint my soul in the Holy Ghost. Whoa. My difficulty was that while reciting went on, I could not keep the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, from coming upon me. And when I got through with Poe's The Raven, they said, you are a phenomenon. You have a wider mental range than any human being we have ever seen. How many of you know it wasn't him? In reality, he said, that was not so. It was because the Spirit of God kept coming upon me in degree so I could feel the moving of the Spirit within me. I can feel him in me right now. Can y'all? Amen. Glory to God. But I prayed in my heart, Lord God, if you will only let the Spirit of God come like the lightnings of God upon my soul for 2 seconds. I know something's going to happen that these men have never seen before. So as I closed the last lines, suddenly, how many of you know these suddenlies are awesome? Said, suddenly, the Spirit of God struck me in a burst of praise in tongues, and the old indicator on the instrument bounced to its limit. And I haven't the least idea how much further it would have gone if it were a possibility. The professor said, we've never seen anything like this. I replied, gentlemen, it is the Holy Ghost. Now, in order to get the force of this lesson, it's necessary to give you the latest theory of the process of digestion. You will see the assimilating power of your nature, your capacity to assimilate God and take the life of God into your being and keep it in your being. And I'm not talking about what I believe. I'm talking about what I know. For many years, God kept me so that sickness and death could not touch me. from the day that I saw in the 91st Psalm a man's privilege of entering into God, not only for healing, but also for health and having God and the life of God in every fiber of his being. I could feel sometimes while in the attitude of prayer, just as you have felt hundreds of times, the impulse of the Spirit moving through my brain and my person to the tips of my fingers, just little impulses of God's presence in my life. And I said, if there was an instrument powerful enough, I believe men could see the action of the brain cells and see what takes place. Well, here's the secret of digestion. From the spirit mind of man and through the spirit of man, there is imparted to every cell of your body impulses of spirit, waves of life. It is the movement of the spirit. Spirit impulses pass from the cortex cells of the brain to the very ends of your fingers and toes to every cell of your body. Now, in the second experiment, they attached to my head a powerful X-ray with microscopic attachments in order to see, if possible, what the action of the brain cells were. Then I proceeded, just as in the former experiment. First, I repeated scriptures that were soothing and calculated to reduce the action of the cortex cells to their lowest possible register. Then I went on into the scriptures to the better and richer things until I came to the first of John. And as I began to recite that and the fires of God began to burn in my heart, presently, once again, the Spirit of God came upon me. And the man who was at my back touched me. It was a signal to keep the pores of soul until one after another could look through the instrument. And finally, when I let go, the spirit subsided. They said, "Why, man, we cannot understand this." But the cortex cells expanded amazingly. Oh, beloved, when you pray, something is happening in you. It's not a myth. It is the action of God. The Almighty God by the Spirit comes into the soul, takes possession of the brain, manifests in the cortex cells. And when you will and wish, either consciously or unconsciously, the fire of God, the power of God, that life of God, that nature of God is transmitted from the cortex cells of the brain, throbs through your nerves, down through your person, into every cell of your being, into every cell of your brain and blood and flesh and bone, and into the 1,500,000 cells in every square inch of your skin. And they are alive with God. That is divine healing. Many men have treated the gospel of Jesus Christ as though it were a sentiment and foolishness. Men who posed as being wise have scorned the phenomena taking places in the Christian every day. But beloved, no dear old mother ever knelt before the throne of God and raised her heart to heaven without demonstrating the finest process of divine wireless transmission. Beloved, the very instant your soul moves with your heart cry and your nature yearns after God, it registers in the soul of Jesus Christ and the answer comes back. So Jesus said this, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you received them and you shall have them." Mark 11:24. "And while ye are yet speaking, I will hear." Isaiah 65:24. "And I said to them, gentlemen, I want you to see one more thing. You go down in your hospital and bring the man who has inflammation in the shin bone. Take your instrument and attach it to his leg. Leave space enough to get my hand on his leg. and you can have it attached on both sides. So when the instrument was all ready, I put my hand on that man's chin, and I prayed just like Mother Etta prays, just as you all pray. No strange prayer, but the cry of my heart to God. I said, God, heal the devilish disease by the power of God, and let the spirit live in him and let it move in him. And I said, gentlemen, what's taking place? They've replied, every cell is responding. Beloved, all there is to healing is that the life of God comes back into the part that is afflicted, and right away, the blood flows. The congested cells respond, and the work is done. That is, again, God's divine science in healing. My soul long ago grew tired of men treating the whole subject of Christianity as though it were child's play. We have our physical sciences, we have our psychological sciences, the structure of the body and the action of the mind taught in the great schools of the land, but there's something greater. How many of you know there is something greater, glory to God? One of these days, there's going to be a new chair in our universities. It will be the chair of pneumatology, the science of spirit, by which men will undertake to discover the laws of the spirit of man and the action of God through man. And by the grace of God, men shall know that God is alive and that the living spirit of God is no dream. And its wondrous power in man and through man will be revealed. The world lived in darkness for 5,000 years. And they had no way of lighting a place like this except by torches or candles. But there was just as much electricity live 5,000 years ago as there is today. Somebody found how to handle it, discovered the laws that govern it, and learned to apply it to our need. Prayer is God's divine generator. The spirit of man is God's divine dynamo. And when you go to pray, your spirit gets into motion. Not 10,000 revolutions per minute, but possibly 100,000. The voltage of heaven comes to your heart, and it flows from your hand. It burns into the souls of men, and God Almighty Spirit is applied through you to their need. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Over in Indiana some years ago, there was a farmer who used to be a friend of Brother Faulkner and myself. His son had been in South America and had a dreadful case of typhoid fever and no proper nursing. And the result was that he developed a great fever sore 10 inches in diameter. The whole abdomen became grown up with proud flesh. One layer on top of another. Get out of there in the name of Jesus. One layer on top of another layer until there were 5 layers on his stomach. The nurse had to lift up those layers and wash it with an antiseptic to keep the maggots out of it. Ooh, glory to God. When he exposed the body for me to pray for him, I was shocked. I had never seen anything like it before. And as I went to pray for him, I spread my fingers wide and put my hand right on that cursed growth of proud flesh. And I prayed, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to blast the curse of hell and burn it up by the power of God. Then I took the train and came back to Chicago. The next day, I received a telegram saying, late, the most unusual thing has happened. An hour after you left, the whole print of your hand was burned into that growth a quarter of an inch deep. You talk about the voltage of heaven and the power of God when there's lightning in the soul of Jesus. The lightning of Jesus heals men by its flash. Sin dissolves. Disease flees when the power of God approaches. And yet we are quibbling and wondering if Jesus Christ is big enough for our needs. Let's take the bars down. Let God come into your life. And in the name of Jesus, your heart will not be satisfied with an empty Pentecost, but your soul will claim the light of God, and the lightning of Jesus will flood your life. Glory be to God. Ooh, my. How many of you know that God's got some power, and you can access that power? All of us have access to that power. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. My. All right. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Lana.
Hey, Michael, is there any way to get a list of those scriptures that he was reading during the test? I wanted to write them down, but it went by kind of quick.
I'll tell you what you can do, Lord. If you can get the whole thing online, just type in John G. Lake, The Science of Divine Healing.
The Science and Divine Healing?
No, The Science. Not the history, but The Science of Divine Healing. This is just an extract. It's actually a pretty good sized chapter. It's awesome. It's awesome. I was going to tell you about y'all remember me telling you about the time that he got, he'd been crying out to the Lord. He was filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that we know, but he knew there was more. How many of you know there's more than what you got? Yeah, me too. Me too. I want everything. God, I want all that you have, Lord. And you know what the Lord's telling me? He said, I'll give you all you can handle. And that's what he's telling us. But he had been crying out. He would walk along the streets. He was a businessman. He was an insurance. He was a head of an insurance company. And he would walk down the streets and he'd say, God, I know there's more. I want more of you, Lord. And one day, his friend came by, Hezekiah, and said, John, would you go with me to pray for this old lady that's got rheumatoid arthritis? He said, yeah, I'll go with you. And he got over there, and the preacher knelt down by the lady and he was praying. Lake was sitting in a chair away from him, not very far, but just a little bit away from him. And he said, all of a sudden, the power of God came into him. He said, it felt like electricity, like a rain of electricity went through his body, his whole body. And he knew that that was the power of God. And he stood up and he said, I knew if I touched her that she would be healed. He said, I didn't want to touch her with my hand. I just wanted to touch her with my finger because I didn't want to, you know. He said, when I touched that lady, his friend was blown across the room away from her, knocked him, slammed away from her, and she got up perfectly healed. And he said, from that moment on, he could put his hand on anybody and tell what was wrong with them, what organ was affected and what was wrong with that specific organ, and they would get healed. And he did that for a year. He said, but you know what happens when grown-up play with toys or they think they're playing with a toy, he said, God will take it away from you. He got to playing with it. He'd go to the hospitals and help the doctors out. God didn't want him to help the doctors. He wanted him to do it, you know, glory to God. But I'll tell you something else he did. He said, I was reading in Acts one time. I was reading in Acts at Pentecost. Is this boring to y'all? No? Okay. He said, I was reading in Acts where at Pentecost, he said, that these disciples all went down and started praying in tongues. And people were understanding them. He said, if they can do it, I can do it. And he started experimenting with it. And he found out through his faith that he could do that, talk to other people that didn't know English. And they could understand him and he could understand them. It was nothing physical. It was all spiritual. He knew what they were saying, whether they were speaking English or not, but he could hear it in English. I remember the time that Sandy, our Sandy, was told us about a time she was in church and she was speaking in tongues. And when they got through with church, she was praising God in tongues, doing it quite often. You knew Sandy, you knew she'd do that. And after church, these two Chinese ladies came up to her and said, oh, you speak of the Chinese. I never heard Chinese speak. Said, you speak Chinese. She said, no, I don't speak no Chinese. She said, oh, yes, you speak Chinese. You speak to us and tell us that Jesus is the true Lord. She said, well, I was speaking in tongues. That probably helped me. But those Chinese ladies heard her talking, heard Jesus talking through her to them. Brought them to Jesus, I'm sure. But I believe, and the angels have told us this, I believe at some point in time, if you believe and you need it, that God will actually have you speak in a language that you understand and they understand you, whether they speak English or whatever it is that you speak, whether you're going to be able to do it. And I believe this. I believe if I'm walking down the street and I see Patrick, then I can say, there's Patrick, and Patrick will hear me in the spirit. He said, Michael's close by. I believe that's going to happen. I believe we're going to be able to speak to one another, spiritually speaking. Just like Jesus did with the Father, we're going to be able to do it with Jesus. Just start believing for that. What do you think the gifts of the Spirit are for us? And quit, like we've often said, quit putting God in a box. The gifts are for us to utilize in any way that we see fit. Anyway, if you can think of it, God will use you. That's what I'm believing is fixing to happen. And I believe if you, oh my goodness. How many, I'm not trying to say that I'm anybody or nothing. I want the same thing. I want everything I'm talking about, I want it. But I want more than anything, I want the love of Jesus right here. I want the love of Jesus in my heart so that I can love my worst enemy just like Jesus. That's what's going to bring all of this other to pass. It's that humble, loving heart. Jesus healed people because of his compassion, his love for them. And he delivered them because of his compassion and love for them. Woo, glory to God. All right, I'm through talking. Somebody else can talk. I'm pumped. I'll tell you, I'm pumped. I know God fixing to do this. I believe this also.
Matt,
he's out. Excuse me a moment. Okay, I'm back. That was somebody that had forgotten I was on the outreach. Okay, does anybody else got anything they'd like to say? Does anybody in here want what I want? That's more Jesus. I want Michael to be Jesus. Michael to be gone. Jesus to be here. You want that, Andrew? Yeah, me too, brother. Me too. Glory to God. Yeah, Benjamin too. Amen. Well, Father God, just hear our prayers, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring us into that realm. You said you were. And I believe it. I believe, Lord, that the closer we come to you, the more is going to be available to us. And I'm talking about your love and your compassion. And the more that Michael dies, Patrick dies, Julie dies, Missy dies, Andrew dies, Nick dies, Morgan, Geneva, and all of everybody dies, the more Jesus is going to show up. Lord, teach us how to die. And that is to give up the flesh. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Patrick, go ahead, brother.
You know, as I was listening to what you were saying, I actually on Tuesday I had was asking if anybody felt that they would like to share, you know, their testimony of how they come to the Lord and everything, and I've heard a lot of testimonies, and it's interesting that there's massive different stories and different ways and of how the Lord has brought people through to the revelation of who he is. But it's obviously, we all come through different paths and different circumstances and different experiences, but we all come through the same door. But and once through that door, we're all into the same spirit. We all have the same spirit. But as I was thinking about what, you know, what you were saying, I know John Lake has, John Lake, I've read, you know, testimonies of other ministers and leaders, Smith was Wigglesworth, and you know, a bunch of, they all have almost kind of the same process or scenario where they're, you know, obviously they're born again. They're born again believers. They've received the Spirit of God, speaking tongues. But and then they function in that capacity, I guess you might say, for a certain amount of time, and then it's like they not run out of steam, but there's a desire for more. And I think it was in Smith Wigglesworth's life, he was preaching the gospel and, you know, before churches and whatever for 15 years, I think, until he sought God and I don't know if it was the baptism of the Spirit, or I don't know if it was a renewal or a refilling or whatever it was, but it was like a light switch turned on, evidently, and he moved into a whole different realm of Christian experience. I've read a lot of the old, the old masters, Charles Finney, John, I'm drawing a blank now as I'm saying this. But the old revivalists of the 1700s, 1800s. And if you read enough of those guys, you can see that they experienced the same thing. Now, Finney wasn't like that, at least that I know of. His story is that he was a pagan lawyer or whatever. And I don't know what set him off, but he one day, I don't know if he was under the gun or he was just, I don't know what it was. I'd have to go back and read it now. But he went out into the forest and I wish I could remember it, but he had an experience out there seeking God, looking for God. I don't know if it was God, if you're real, make yourself real to me or whatever. I don't know what it was, but he came back a different person from the person that went in there. He came back. And I don't know if it was, and he was one of the greatest revival preachers in that time frame. And there's stories about him. If you read revival lectures and some of the things that he would walk into a town and people would start falling on the sidewalk, you know, as he walked by. And it was just the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this was back, obviously, before the Azusa Street, revivals or the pouring out of the Spirit then. John Wesley was the same. I mean, they preached the gospel for years. And, you know, we're seeking God for that different, that deeper life experience. And he has stories in the whole, he calls it the second blessing or the entire sanctification or whatever it is. But it's all a measure. I don't know if it's a person, growing in awareness of God after they've been born again, and and that awareness finally mounting up to a place where you see that in comparison, you are so totally unable to function in the capacity that God has given us, that it it, the motivation forces you to seek God for that additional spirit benefit, fullness, whatever, however you want to describe it or whatever. And at some point, I know some of the people that I've read, they actually thought that they weren't Christians before, they weren't saved before, because there has been such a miraculous, you know, second move of God in their lives. And I have to say that I've been seeking that ever since, you know, the early 80s when I became a Christian. And I know that God granted me that for a time period in my life, and literally blew me away with his presence and whatever, and taught me many things at that time. And through that process, I think I did exactly what I just said, that you gain so much of awareness of the potential of God. I felt like very, vacant inside. Like, I don't know what to do with this, you know. I literally almost felt lost again, because, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. But I think the point being is that there has got to be levels of the Holy Spirit that he gives you, levels of awareness. I mean, if looking at that example of Moses bringing the children of Israel across the Red Sea, and they were baptized in the sea, and they come up, and the scripture says that they're baptized in the Spirit and he led them through the Spirit led them through the wilderness. Yet, and then through that 40 years of exposing the carnal life, then God did a second work and brought the next generation, not the generation that died, but a new generation, a generation of their seed, of the seed of that old man, and brought that new generation into the promised land in like fashion, across, split the Jordan, stopped the Jordan, and brought them across again in like fashion. So there was a picture of a second movement there of God, one leading them out of Egypt, and the other one conquering the promised land, or the land of promises, as David says. And so I'm wondering, I guess I'm not wondering, I'm wondering, where does that leave us? Where does that leave me? You know, am I in the promise? You know, it's kind of one of those things. I'm trying to overthink it. I don't know, but I think it's, for me, it's important to understand the steps of this process, so that I can at least understand and be able to help somebody through the process. I got this kind of this picture, even as I was thinking about it, that there is a whole realm of of Christians that are in the environment of a system, of a religious system. And those people, those Christians, inwardly have a desire to know God and see God, but they are listening, they are depending upon the leadership or the religious system or the group, the denomination, the pastor or whatever, in order to lead, to gain their guidance through that process. And they need to be weaned off that dependence, and that dependence needs to transition over to a dependence upon the Lord Jesus and his voice. And I believe that the reason for that initial dependence is because there's not a receiving of God's Holy Spirit through that process. So it may leave people dependent upon unduly dependent upon men to gain their understanding or whatever, or their faith, or what, you know. I'm kind of rambling here at this point, but so I guess the point being is it's important to me, at least, that I understand that the process, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the guidance, how to wean people off of that dependence and how to put them solidly on Christ. So that's where, maybe this is a confession, I don't know. I that's where I personally lack in that process. I have, for whatever reason, maybe it's my temperament or whatever. I guess this is getting to be a confession. Maybe it's a confession of sin. And I, because of my temperament, I believe tend to be shy away from certain things, and, you know, stay quiet if I have a less of a tendency to speak into things. I guess that would seem almost a little impossible, listen to me ramble on. But I tend to, that if something is happening or going wrong, I usually don't tend to speak into it. I've kind of learned to keep my mouth shut and just let things roll. I don't know if that is good or bad. I know it's what I have learned, but I don't know where that, you know, what, if that's a need for release, a need for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, or whatever that would be. So I leave that open as a point that I'm just, you know, maybe a confession of some sort, and would ask for prayer related to that. I like Michael, I want all that I can get from God. That's all there is to it. Because in this time coming, we're going to need everything. It's going to be all resources available, and it's going to, we're not going to be able to tough our way through this thing. This is going to have to be God's faith unleashed, working within us. And we have to, I believe we have to be ready and willing to be unlimited in where we and how we trust God to supply our need through this coming time. And I just want to be prepared for that. So that's my confession, my prayer request, and everything else in there. All right.
I think in the times ahead, Pat, that the Lord, all he wants is a willing vessel. And a willing vessel is one that has faith. Faith to believe that God can do it through you. Faith to believe that he's going to do it through you. Faith to believe that he is doing it through you. That's what he's looking for. Also, he's looking for, discipline. He's looking for discipline. The discipline to seek him every day, have a personal time with him. I'm not that where I'm there yet, Pat, but I know this is what he wants. He wants us to set aside a time in the day to seek him spiritually and to listen to his voice speak to you. Lake fasted and prayed and sought God for 9 months. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit, but he wanted more. And he'd cry out, you know, like I was telling you, going down the street, people to look at him like he was some kind of nut, you know. Well, he was. He was a nut full of the Lord. And that's what God wants. He wants us to not care about what people think, but what he thinks. And he sees that hunger, a hunger for boldness, a hunger for love in your heart, a hunger for all of those things that you want, and he'll give it to you. I just know in my heart and my spirit that that's what he wants. He wants and you to believe, us to believe that he's going to do it. That's key. That's the faith that he wants. I know you're going to do it, Lord. I'm waiting for that day, and I know that you are changing my DNA even as I speak. To your DNA. And you start doing that. Start doing it every day. But you got to get time alone. Pray in the spirit. A lot. Pray in the spirit a lot. Can I read you? John G. Lakes. He says, my consecration as a Christian. It's not very long. It'll take a few minutes. Is that all right? He's got 7 principles. Y'all want to hear it? Okay, I'm gonna read it then. He says this, my consecration as a Christian, John G. Lake. I this day consecrate my entire life to glorify my Heavenly Father by my obedience to the principles of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. All my effort from now on will be directed in an effort to demonstrate the righteousness of God in whatsoever I may be engaged. Principle number 1. All the things earthly that I possess shall not be considered my own, but belonging to my Heavenly Father, and shall be held in trust by me to be used and directed by the wisdom of the Spirit of God as the law of love of men as Christ loved them may dictate. If at any time God raised up men wiser than myself, I will gladly commit all to their use and turn over all my possessions to them for distribution. If at any time in my life I should be engaged in any earthly business and should employ men to aid me in conducting it, I shall reward them justly and equally, comparing their own energy expanded with my own after adding a sufficient amount to my own to cover all risks that may be involved in the operation of my business. I want to stop there just a moment. Lake saw also in Acts, and he commented on this a few times. He said, I saw the dedication of the people involved with the disciples. He said they everyone that were true disciples of God sold everything they had and brought the money before the disciples and said, use this to God's glory. In other words, they surrendered everything they had to the Lord and depended on him from that time. That's what God wants out of us. Surrender it all. And he goes on principle one. He said, I shall consider my employees my equals with rights to the blessings of nature and life equal to my own. I shall not strive to elevate myself to a position of comfort above the rest of my employees and shall direct all my efforts to bring all mankind to an equal plane where all enjoy the comforts of life and fellowship together. Principle number two. I shall not cease to cry to God and implore him to deliver mankind from the effects of sin so long as sin lasts, but shall cooperate with God in the redemption of mankind. I will have seasons of prayer and fasting in behalf of mankind, weeping and bewailing their lost condition and imploring God to grant them repentance unto life, as the Spirit of God may lead me. Principle number three. I shall live my life in meekness, never defending my own personal rights, but shall leave all judgment to God, who judges righteously and rewards according to their works. I shall not render evil for evil or railing for railing, but shall bless all and do good to enemies in return for evil. By God's grace, I shall keep all hardness and harshness out of my life and actions, but shall be gentle and unassuming, not professing above what God has imparted to me, nor lifting myself above my brethren. Principle four, I shall consider righteous acts as more necessary to life and happiness than food and drink, and not let myself be bribed or coerced into any unrighteous action for earthly consideration. Principle five. By God's grace, I will always be merciful, forgiving those who have transgressed against me and endeavoring to correct the ills of humanity instead of merely punishing them for their sins. Principle number six. I shall not harbor any impure thoughts in my mind, but shall endeavor to make every act uplifting. I shall regard my procreative organs sacred and holy and never use them for any purpose other than that which God created them for. I shall regard the home as sacred and always guard my actions in the presence of the opposite sex so as not to cause a man and his wife to break their vows to one another. I shall be chaste with the opposite sex who are married and considering them as sisters. I shall be careful not to cause them undue pain by playing on their affections. Principle number seven. I will always strive to be a peacemaker. First by being peaceful myself, and avoiding all unfruitful contentions and treating all with justice and regarding their rights and their free agency, never trying to force any to my point of view. If I should offend anyone knowingly, I shall immediately apologize. I will not scatter evil reports about any person and so try to defame their character or repeat things that I'm not certain of being true. I will strive to remove the curse of strife among brethren by acting as a peacemaker. Ooh, that's awesome. Principle number eight, that's the last one. I shall not become discouraged when I am persecuted on account of the righteousness mentioned above, nor murmur on account of any suffering I undergo, but shall gladly give my life rather than depart from this high standard of life, rejoicing because I know I have a great reward in heaven. I shall strive to make the above principles the ideals of all the world and give my life and energy to see mankind get the power from God to practice the saint. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. That is awesome. Consecration. That's a thing to consider. That's a thing to adhere to. How many here needs a healing? Raise your hand. Raise a yellow hand if you need it, if you can't, if I can't see you. Everybody that needs healing, because I'm fixing to pray a prayer of healing for everybody. And I know God's going to answer it. Glory be to God. Oh, my goodness. Everybody that needs healing, raise your hand, because you're fixing to receive it. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Prayer for healing. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, and I thank you that right now that light comes on and their light is allowed to shine. Everyone here, right now we speak freedom. We speak health and healing. And Father, I thank you that you wish above all things that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And Father, today these people's minds have prospered in your word and their bodies should also show it. Glory to God. So we thank you right now that all the work of the enemy must cease. That right now in Jesus' name, sickness and disease, I command you by the name of Jesus, by the authority behind that name, that you will bow your knee, that you will cease your efforts and your works against these people. Their bodies belong unto Jesus, not to you. You are trespassing and we hereby evict you and command you to go and never return. And now in the name of Jesus right now, every person within the sound of my voice that has any ailments in their bodies, any addictions, any work of the enemy on their mind and in their body, right now in Jesus' name, by the authority of that name, I set you free. Glory to God. And right now, those addictions, those habits, those actions, stop today. Sickness and disease, stop today. Right now, we command sickness and disease to die, to leave these bodies so that these bodies experience health, the healing, the divine health of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So in the name of Jesus, right now, I say be free, be healed, be blessed in Jesus' name. Right now, pain, go. Sickness, go in the name of Jesus right now. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. Whatever you could not do before, do it now. Begin doing it right now in the name of Jesus. Do it right now and you'll be healed. If you couldn't raise your hand, raise your hand. If you couldn't walk, get up and walk. If you couldn't do something, get up and do it right now because you're healed in Jesus' name. If you couldn't move an arm, move that arm. Whatever you couldn't do, begin to do it right now. Begin to move. Begin to breathe. Whatever you couldn't do, we speak to you now and command your body to function correctly. Every organ, every cell, every tissue will respond appropriately to the voice of the Word of God. And appropriate means what? Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And I believe it's done. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Father. Glory be to God. I believe it's done now in Jesus' name. Praise God forevermore. Ooh, my. Boy, there's a presence in here that is awesome. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you for your Holy Spirit, Father. Ooh, I receive that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah, baby Jesse is moving around in my womb right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Father. Praise be to God forevermore. Ooh, my. Man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. It is done. It is done. The Word of God says it's done. And he don't lie. Glory to God. Ooh, my. Ah. Such a peace. Glory to God. Praise your holy name, Lord. Ah, my. Ooh, my, my, my. All right. Yes, thank you, Lord, for your healing power going through this fellowship. And those that are listening, after this is over, you do the same thing and you will be healed as well. No doubt in my mind, you will be healed. And I'm looking for the testimony because it ain't me, it's God. I couldn't heal a gnat, but God can. Glory to God. The God in me can. Praise God forevermore. All right. Anybody got a testimony? Got a testimony time? Glory to God. Ooh, my, 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 my. Yep. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now we need to hear some music, don't we? My goodness. Pat? Did you have your hand raised to say something, or are you just raising your hand to receive, or all of it?
All of the above.
Okay. Go for it, brother.
No, I don't have anything else to say. I'm listening.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Cheryl, how's it going, girl?
I am blessed. Thank you.
Amen. You certainly are. Praise be to God.
And I'm praising the Lord for the peace that I'm having through my trial. And, you know, because everybody's casting me down, saying I'm crazy. I need a lawyer. I need this. I need that. And I just let them know, well, I got the best one, and he's Almighty God. He's sovereign over everything.
Amen. And he's going to get the glory too, ain't he, Cheryl?
Oh, yes, he is. Not man.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We're hanging with you, girl.
Thank you. God bless
you. We're all around you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? I've shared most of the night, and I'm kind of wanting y'all to share something here, but I enjoyed it. Oh, glory to God. Hey, listen, what do y'all think about, this is the question. What do y'all think about, taking some of the Pauline epistles and going through them verse by verse and doing a study like that? What do y'all think about doing something like that? I'm not going to think bad of it if you don't want to. That's okay, but I'll think about that this afternoon. Okay. Anna says okay. Marilyn says okay. Pat says okay. Ben says okay. Benita says okay. Missy says okay. Good idea, Samuel said. Yep. Judy says okay. Well, it's done then. We got it. I think the eyes have it. All right. Yeah, Jesse says okay. Phil and Lana says, okay. Okay. What's the first one you want to go in? I got one, but I'm going to let y'all decide. Nobody has a preference to go? Why don't we? Yeah, Missy.
Well, we start off with Romans.
Romans? Okay, yeah, that's a good one. That's a great one. That's got a lot of stuff in it. That's a good one. We could stay on that for a year and a half. Matthew Henry wrote a book on it. Yeah, okay, we can do that. We can start on Romans. We'll start with Romans 1. Come, what is this, Thursday? Tuesday night, next Tuesday night? If that's what y'all want to do. So study the first chapter of Romans and let's see what we can come up with. Make you some notes to share come next Tuesday night. Don't let me be doing all the talking because this is for y'all too. I'm going to be on it too. So I enjoy that. I enjoy doing that. I know Andrew and Ben and Barry and Merlin. Nick, you're not going to be on Iceland next Tuesday, are you?
No, but I'll be at work.
Oh, okay. Saved by the work. All right, brother. Okay, that sounds like a plan then. Let me write that down so I don't forget it. All right, Romans for Tuesday, chapter 1. Yeah, Nick?
Me and my mom might come down to Tennessee in October.
Get out of here.
Nope.
Really? Okay, that'd be great, buddy. That would be great. That would be awesome. Well, we'd love to have you. You didn't come down when she came down the last time, did you?
No, this will be my first.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, you come on down, buddy.
Yeah, I will.
October. It'll still be warm here.
Yeah.
Possibly.
It's warm here still, so.
Yeah, but what you call warm, what I call warm, two different things. Amen. All right. Yeah, we'd be looking. We'd be glad to have you here. Be glad to have you. We're having, Andrew.
You know, I was just makes you wonder how many times God saves you when you don't know He's even saving you. For instance, you know, you're on the side of the road and someone does stop because you have a flat tire. Southern hospitality, you know, this is just natural things that some people do, you know. Some people, you're at work and your friend will come over. Oh, I bought you a bag of chips today, or I got you a coffee, you know, to save your thirst. Or you might be having a real bad day and you can skip that person with a wonderful, infectious smile and it'll just put a smile back on your face, you know. He saved your grumpiness or something. And, you know, you go to the store and you go to the discount store and there's some brand new socks you can buy yourself. $3.33 for three pairs of socks, you know, $1.11 each, you know, for a pair. And you take advantage of these things. And sometimes, you know, you say, oh, wow, that's really good. But just how much sovereignty does God have over the stuff that happens, you know. I sometimes wonder if I should be waking up and saying, Lord, what do you got in store for me today? What are we going to do today, you know? How are things going to happen today, Lord? I mean, after all, I'm yours. You know, you purchased me, you bought me, and I need to know what you're going to do with me today, you know? Well, even if I don't need to know, it's going to happen anyway. So, you know, you just think of some of the things that you've been through, you know, and you pray for something. Remember the bus ticket, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Find that bus ticket for us, you know. It was a windy day. He dropped his bus ticket when he was a child. And, I asked the Lord to find it for us. And we all, me, my son, and my daughter scattered to look for this bus ticket. And a person came up to us and said, are you looking for this? Or did find our bus ticket for us? How much the Lord can save you. You know, I'm in the middle of the, coming home from the mall, and I don't have bus tickets on me. We get saved that way. The Lord provides things, so many things, you know. But you go to the store and you don't want it to rain, and it's drizzling, and then you get back home and you put all the groceries away. You sit down in your chair and you look up, and the hail, a storm of proportions that you never saw before, it's coming down, and he saved you from your little store trip there. You can meet up with someone in the bus stop, and because it's pouring rain, and you can talk about the Lord with this man, and he's a man from the Congo in Africa, and he discusses things that are in the church in Africa, and you mention something to him, and you're having a good conversation about the Lord, reminding him about his water baptism and how he doesn't have sin in him and he's saved. You know, you're free from sin. You know, reckon yourself dead to sin. You know, and it's just these little happenings that God can bring across your path. You know. And he does these things. He probably saves us from so many things we don't even know of on our daily journey or what we do every day. And, there's this song there, Count Your Blessings One by One. There's probably so many there that we don't even know about. So praise and glory to God. He is sovereign over all things. Just kind of wondering, what are we going to do tomorrow, Lord? And what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do with your body, Lord? Your corporate body of people. We want to do things. We want to be used by you. We want to glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Can you imagine? Just imagine this. If you decided that, listen, I'm going to glorify God today. I'm going to go in Walmart. I'm going to find somebody that needs a healing. God's going to help me. I know he's going to answer my prayers. And you go in aisle 7 where the spices are, and you see this old lady there that needs a healing. And you say, may I pray for you? God sent me here to pray for you. Can I pray for you? Yes, please, God. And so you lay your hands on them, let the power of God go in them, and watch her get healed. And then the next thing you know, the one of the Walmart people is watching you, and they get back on the phone, and they say, there's healing going on in aisle 7. Everybody that needs healing, get over there right now to get your healing from God. Glory to God. We're having church in Walmart today. Glory to God. You know, can you imagine that happening? I can. Mm-hmm. I can imagine it. My mind goes wild in places like that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that would be awesome. Praise God. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey, can I sing that song for you? Count Your Many Blessings.
Yes, you can. Y'all get ready for a treat.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you great.
Okay. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, not your home on high, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen.
Amen. That is an old, I sang that as a child. That's a good one. Thank you, Father. I remember that. Well, thank you so much, Lana. You got a good voice. Almost good as mine.
God. Next time I'll have to mix it up with some Russian because I sing that as a kid too.
Yeah. Amen. Sang it in Russian. Well, we'll have to speak in tongues and we'd have to understand what you're saying.
Well, I do a verse in Russian and a verse in English just to get you to listen closer there.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
I think Nick needs to, he's got his hand raised. Maybe he needs to sing a song.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Go ahead, Nick. Sing your song, brother. Go, Nick, go. Go, Nick, go.
I actually looked up the language that Iceland speaks, and their second language is English.
What's their first English? What's their first language?
I don't know.
Northern German, Germanic.
Oh, okay. So I figured it was some kind of Nordic language. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Praise God. Okay. You're going to come back. Bring a song, Nick, in English from Iceland. And you can sing on the outreach. That'd be awesome. Go ahead, Patrick.
I just wanted to in case anybody hasn't heard it, there was a message on was one of the podcasts here. It was an older podcast, I think, that David was teaching, and then it was answering. Maybe it was on the old Pal Talk or something. Not quite sure what it was. But he went through a verse I thought was really good, or the group of verses there. It was talking about the disciples as they were in the boat crossing Galilee, and a storm rose up, and they were, you know, they were in jeopardy, and things were going south on them. maybe mixing up the stories, but Jesus walked across the water to them. And of course it scared him or whatever, but and of course Peter said, said to the Lord, if you, you know, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come to you or whatever. And of course he said, come. And Peter come out of the boat and walked for a while until he started getting scared and seeing the boisterous winds and whatnot, and then started to fail and called out to for Jesus to save him through that process, which he did. But I thought David had, he used that example to illustrate the difference between no faith or little faith and doubt. And I thought it was pretty good. It was a kind of a clarity type thing that it helped me to see, you know, just the difference between doubt and the difference between just unbelief. The other disciples, you know, Peter had faith or boldness or whatever you want. And he, by faith, jumped out of that boat and walked toward Jesus. And then his faith being small or incorrectly focused or on Jesus or whatever, it failed him, and he reached out, you know, for Jesus to pull him out. He was functioning even through that failure process, struggling over doubt or struggling, you know, with doubt. But the disciples in the boat, they weren't struggling with doubt, right? Maybe they were overcome by it. They were struggling with, they were in unbelief or no faith. They weren't getting out of that boat. No, you know, obviously not hammering the 12 disciples here, but it was a clarity type of moment for me, because it sometimes, you know, it's good to know what the cause is, you know, when you're struggling over certain things and you think you maybe you're failing, you know, well, you know, am I in unbelief? Am I have no faith? You know, do I not believe God or, you know, whatever? But there could be a seed of faith there, and it just needs to grow, be exercised and function. And of course, it's those failures that we have, that we experience, that brings out the doubt. You know, it exposes it in our life, and we can, you know, brings it out to the light, and we can deal with it in a proper fashion with confession and faith and whatnot. So I just thought it's a good question and answer session that was on there. It's, I don't know, it's 3 or 4 days ago. And once you open it up and listen to it, you can tell it's an old recording of probably off the miscellaneous recordings. But I would encourage you to listen to it. It was pretty good. Anyway, that's it.
Okay. All right, we have another special treat for you coming up here. It has been requested by people from all over the world for Missy to sing Nobody. I Ain't Nobody. Go ahead, girl.
Sorry. Who requested that? Okay. Why you ever chose me? It's always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite. with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We're all just a bunch of nobodies.
Amen. That was good, Missy. Thank you so much. I wish you'd get into it a little bit more, though.
I know. I love that song.
I know. That's a good song.
Mm-hmm. Praise you,
Joe likes it too, doesn't you, Joe? He likes it too.
Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything before we close out? You got any prayer requests or anything like that? Yeah, thank you, Missy. All right. Be looking for the man child in yourself. Be looking for the bride in yourself. Lord of God, he's coming. He's coming. Praise God. Lord, I just bless your heart. I bless you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, Lord, and we want nothing more but you, Lord. Place it in a heart to lay everything aside but you. Place it in a heart, Lord, to seek you with all of our heart. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us. You know, Lord, sometimes we just want a pill. You know, give me a pill to make me want you more, Lord. But you want our heart. You don't want a superficial love. You want our heart. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in us to deeply seek you, Lord. Down to every fiber of our body, want nothing but you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, that we're going to have an awesome time in the days ahead because we're making disciples out of us, and you're going to teach us, you're going to have us to teach other people how to become disciples by doing the word, not just being hearers only, but doers of the word. And I praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God forevermore. All right. Good night, saints. Y'all be blessed, you hear?